I have in studio Rami Evan Ish.
Yeah.
Also known as Kosha
Dills.
Dills. He is a recording artist and a self-described independent workhorse. Mm-hmm. He was heavily involved with the New York rap battle scene in the 90s and now has a chart-topping song released. What's your chart-topping song?
I don't think I got one right now, actually, but I did have a song with this guy, Modest Yahoo, that was helped my album get on Billboard charts.
Oh, Nick thought you had one right now. He wrote that.
Appreciate
here.
Nick. I need one.
Right on.
You know?
Well, thanks for coming in.
Man, what a blessing to get up early in Los Angeles. This is such an interesting concept.
Yeah. What time do you normally get up?
I'm like a guy that gets, 9 to 10.
Really? And what time you go to bed?
Usually late. I'm like a 2 to 3 guy.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a comedian?
Not
anymore?
I guess my rap is considered user-friendly.
And how did you become a rapper?
Yeah, we want to use two P's, not one.
Yeah.
Specifically for anyone out there that wonders how it's spelled.
How did you become one?
New York scene, like I'm from Jersey and some of my friends were rapping. And, you know, when you're younger, you just want to be impressive to the friends. So I had a friend who was really successful rapping. And the battle scene of like New York City, New Eurekan Poets Cafe era, 2000, 2001, 2002, 1999. So I just started drifting in from high school, going up, battling people. I enjoyed one-on-one competition.
And so are you still rapping?
Still full-time gig rapping. Could you believe it?
How's it going?
It's been pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been full-time rapping in L.A. for 8 years. I haven't had a regular job that forces me to get up and clock in or clock out.
So do you write your own rap music and all that?
Yeah, write my own material. Became quite successful at freestyle rap, which is, improv. There's a lot of improv places in L.A., and I've sort of learned how to navigate that in my worlds and my live show, writing songs. The whole gamut of all entertainment within music, as much as you know what I mean?
Right on.
The performing, the recording, the...
That's good, man.
Hustling.
How old are you?
38. Just turned 38 2 days ago.
Happy birthday,
man. 3 days
ago.
Thanks, man.
And so how did you... Kosha Dills.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that name?
You know, I got it when I was younger, but it's sort of like a Jewish reference, business reference, sexual reference, all three combined.
Oh, I see.
Food. Music, money, all the great things of the world.
Amazing.
Know?
Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
You a Jew?
Yes, I am a Jew, 100%.
And so I didn't know they had Jewish rappers.
There's a lot of Jewish rappers, actually. There's a whole list. I have a whole list on my Instagram.
And so do you rap dirty music?
Dirty music, I would say. No, it's pretty clean. But, I mean, there's some, when you mean dirty, there's some sexual references or whatever, or sometimes cursing. But I think the best form of expressing yourself, however it seems fit, it's art. So you can't really put away of what it may be.
Are you?
But yes, it's kid friendly. I've been on kids shows too, and you know what I mean? So I know how to be pro.
So if you were a Jewish rapper,
am a Jewish rapper though. Can't be
right. You are, if you did dirty music, dirty rap mm-hmm. crap. Would they allow you to be in the Jewish community? I mean, in the Jewish world, being a dirty rapper?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great Jewish rappers with a lot of dirty lyrics, but it doesn't take away any fact that they're less Jewish because they curse or whatever.
You know? What made you a Jew?
What makes me Jewish? My mom was Jewish.
Oh, I see.
Her mom was Jewish.
And your father was Jewish as well?
Yeah.
And so I was told that you were ashamed at one time of being Jewish.
Yeah. It was an interesting concept. I just like, there's a lot of things that I just think, growing up, there was a lot of detachment. My family's from Israel. I was the first one born in America. And there's a lot of detachment from religion and culture and identity. And I went to jail for a little bit and I saw everybody else getting a pastor because they would get out of the pod or, go see the pastor and say, hey, pray for me, whatever like that.
Right.
So I said, I demand to see a rabbi. I never saw a rabbi before. And then I thought, man, this, and then sort of slowly but surely years after I started, went back to college, sort of in and out of jail for a little bit. And then
And so
came out as Kosha Dills, and then I stamped that name. I said, if I ever get really popular, I'll be Kosher Dills, and everyone will probably ask me if I'm really, really Jewish. And
right.
It sort of worked. It was like a setup for my own self.
And so you were ashamed of being a Jew. Of being Jewish because you were born in America, not in Israel.
Yes, there's a lot more family
totally
dynamics. Yeah.
Do you ever go to Israel?
It's funny you say it. I'm moving there in 2 weeks, man.
Are you?
Yeah.
And why?
Why not?
Why are you moving there?
But why not? I'm excited about it.
And why are you moving there?
Because, you know, I don't want to die alone in Los Angeles as a musician. I figure why not take a new step? I went from New Jersey to L.A., and now let's go from L.A. to Israel.
Really? So, and what does that mean, you don't want to die alone?
I think when you get to 38, you start thinking about different things, like not only do I want to be an artist, but maybe I want to start a family. Maybe I want to start a shifting toward a mentality of, you know, dating more seriously, maybe dating Jewish women from Israel. You can't really go wrong in Israel. You know what I mean? Make it easier for myself.
I want to go back to this being ashamed of being Jewish. So, like, you were not born in Israel, so you didn't totally identify with the Jewish culture and stuff like that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And there's a big separation between Israeli culture and Jewish culture in America, sort of like having Israeli parents and then being part of, like, all the Jewish youth groups or, you know, things in the U.S. And I wasn't really part of that.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And so while growing up and going through school and all that, did you hide the fact that you were Jewish?
Nah, I think, but I just hung out with one of my friends from high school, and I'm like, were there other Jewish kids in our high school? Because we came from a predominantly Italian, Irish Catholic area of New Jersey. And the other side of town, which was a little bit more affluent, that had Italians, Asians, and Jews. And I was like, there wasn't that many Jews in my school. So, you know, I was a sports kid, and I was just like, where were the Jewish kids? And there really weren't that many, you know?
Did you ever get beat up when they found out in school that you were Jewish?
Nah. Plus, I wrestled Division I wrestling, I was more of the beater-upper than the beaten.
So going through high school, did you date?
Not really as much in high school.
Oh, okay.
Nah, but, like, you know, that wasn't. I not dated any Jewish girls in high school. There was no Jewish girls really there.
So how did you return to the Jewish identity?
I got cleaned. I was pretty much came up as an addict for, I would say, from like 16 to 22, turning 23.
You were a drug addict?
Yeah.
What type of drugs?
All the drugs.
You smoked pot?
All of them.
Really?
The poop.
Why did you get on drugs?
A lot of the lack of feeling like I was part of. I was trying to be accepted. Yeah. I think, you know, people, there's a lot of issues that you're dealing with. You use drugs to mask that. I've been clean 15 years. So to look back at how long that's been, the mind state that travels with you and the want of being accepted, wanting to fit in, that doesn't really leave you almost at any age. But
yeah,
especially at those times, at like the eight, when you're shaping who you're about to become for the next scores of your life.
Yeah, you know, there was a Jewish rapper who died from overdose or something recently. I can't think of
who. Mac Miller.
It? Did you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he died from overdose. And so
it was almost a year ago, literally.
Right. I kind of remember when that happened. And so you have returned to your Jewish identity, right?
Yeah.
And what does it mean to return to it?
It's called teshuvah. And it's like returning. It's kind of empowering, you know. I think it's like if you're returning to anything, let's say, you know, even for a Christian person to come back, he was like off the faith and he comes back. I think it's just empowering when you lead astray off of whatever your maybe path or identity. For me, it's not about being religious. It's more about being strong and identifying and not being afraid of what other people might feel about your identity.
That's right.
It's empowering and also could be scary, too, for yourself if you're like, whoa. I'm about to tell it, and the rap name Kosher Dills, people immediately disclose all the religious information and their upbringing to me, and they're like, "Whoa, wow, you're Kosher Dills." I was born atheist, but my mother's Christian, and you know they go into it. And I'm like, I'm really not that guy that's religious. I just did it so I would make sure that if I become sort of more of a public figure with the music thing, that people know that, wow, this guy's strong identity, and that's like.
Were you raised by both parents?
Yeah,
your father
still married. Yeah,
and how did they feel about? Did they know you were ashamed of being Jewish?
I don't know. Is that much? I think it was more about the addiction thing. But nah, I don't think they really knew that. But the idea is when I first started rapping, I was Kosher Dill, and then people made fun of me, so I changed it to KD Flow.
Right.
Because at KD Flow, you would not identify any sort of like religion or identity, a Jewish identity to it. And then when I came out and when my music, my first record in 2005, it was extremely like a lot of Jewish references, but there was really no Jewish content. But what I mean Jewish references is the record label was called Matzah for Your Mouth Records. It was
right.
Like a matzah ball eating a piece of matzah with a yarmulke. And you're just like, oh my God, this is really Jewish. But the reality is none of the content was Jewish at all. It was just like, hey, I'm a Jew. And it was sort of like
you look white and sound like an Italian. You don't look Jewish.
What does Jewish look like?
White.
There, did you know there's way more than just white Jews?
I'm finding that out.
You're finding out Ethiopian Jews,
right.
Brown Jews,
yeah,
black
I met
Jews.
Them when I went to Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met them.
And it's a huge Ethiopian Jewish population. There's Jews from all over, from the diaspora, they were there, and they went, pew. All over the world. So
right.
There's Jews everywhere. There's Chinese Jews. There's Indian Jews, Brazilian Jews.
Is life easier for Jews than it is for other normal people?
No, but I do think that there's a strong identity in the Jewish community, and we like to support each other.
Why is it so easy for Jews to be rich, to become rich?
One, it's not easy for anybody to become rich. Let's just attend there because I wish I was part of that.
It looks like all the Jews are rich.
No, it doesn't, actually. What part of – I think it's because you watch maybe the television or might see, oh, man, Hollywood or
no, when I drive west, right down the street here, west on Pico,
yep.
Jewish community, all nice, nice home.
Have you ever gone to the east side?
And on Saturday, they're all walking up and down the road.
Yeah. Why aren't they driving?
Right. Why are they driving?
It's because of Shabbat, the day of rest.
Have you ever seen –
Have you ever tried to drive through there on Saturday?
Have you
it's
ever
easier
seen –
to drive through there because there's no cars.
I know. The freeway is all clear.
but let's go back to the
you say you were born atheist?
I wasn't. No, I was referring to other people that maybe were born in a certain thing or talking about returning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't born atheist, but I definitely wasn't born super religious. But I want to return back to the thing about Jews and money, you know.
Right.
Jews originally, like, let's say a job, people might refer to that, but about Jews with money, but the most despicable job in the earlier days was dealing with money. So that's why they gave it to the Jews. It only became a thing later.
Oh.
So it wasn't technically a good thing, but then people made it into a better identity and a thing that they worked hard and earned. I think you should refer to working hard as the thing, not making, you know, having money. It doesn't just flow from the sky.
That makes
you know?
Sense, yeah. Your mother is, did you say your mother is Christian?
Nope, Jewish.
Okay. Are you a popular rapper or known rapper?
I'd like to be more popular, I think.
But young people seem to know you.
Yeah, like if you walk into the west side of Pico, a lot of people be like, that's Kosher Dills, like Schnitzely, the kosher restaurant. You should go there. It's good.
So you're moving to Israel about
moving
two? When are you moving?
September 10th, to be exact.
Really?
I want to put it out there because it's a scary thing to move in general. So I'm like, I'm moving September 10th. Remember, don't move. Don't not show up to the airport.
America, the Great White Hope, is putting up a wall around the borders to stop the illegals from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for the wall going up around the borders in America?
I don't think it's going to help as much as people might think it might help in that area.
Are you for the wall going up?
I don't think it will be a good investment.
Are you for the wall going up in America?
I don't think it's going to be a good investment if he puts the wall down there. Plus, it's huge. There's a huge border. So wouldn't they go to other areas for the reason? He's doing it to block.
Who is he?
The president.
The Great White Hope?
No, not the Great White Hope. President Trump.
He's the Great White Hope. And so are you for the wall going up?
I don't think it's going to be a good investment.
But you're not answering if you're for it.
No, but that's why I don't think it's going to be good.
So are you for it?
Not for it.
You're not for it.
I think it could be better use of invested time to achieve what he's trying to do.
How about Israel? Israel has a wall going up, around it. Are you for the wall around Israel?
It's good that you bring that up because the reason why the wall went up, I think people need to know why the wall went up. Do you want to know why the wall went up?
Well, first tell me, and then you can tell me why, but are you for the wall around Israel?
I don't think it's great in so many ways, but I think it serves its purpose. So, I think it served its purpose. Terrorist attacks went down 90% that are coming from those areas that were people are infiltrating in Israel to kill Jews.
And so are you for the wall around Israel?
For that reason, to protect people from terrorist attacks, yes. For limiting their travel and, unfortunately, being leveraged against Jewish people for to divide people up and say, hey, we're, you know, you're limiting our use of travel, and et cetera. No, because it's been used as a propaganda tool against the Jewish people for a long time and saying, like, you hate us.
But the same
but
thing.
It served its purpose.
But in America, we have all type of terrorist people coming in across the borders from everywhere. We have drug dealers, drug lords, and all kind of people, gang members coming into America. Why wouldn't you want the same protection with the wall for America as you would for Israel?
They're two different. They serve two different purposes.
Well, what do you mean? They're both there to protect, right?
Gaza is run by Hamas, which is an acknowledged terrorist organization that actually runs the country. Those elected officials, that's blocking it off. The PA, which is split. So just for people to know that Gaza's over here, West Bank's over there, or Judea and Samaria, whatever you want to call it. That's blocked off as well, and they have so. The wall from Mexico is completely different because it's for illegal immigration. But
everybody at the moment coming across that wall, across that border. I just read a story this morning, I believe, where some African folks, some black folks from Mommy Africa, just had a major.
Have you been to Africa?
No. Had a major. I've been to Israel, though, several times, a couple of times. But had a major fight with. The Mexican police over there because they're trying to get to America and Canada, right?
Canada's really hard to get to.
Yeah. But what I don't understand, and I agree with you, the wall in Israel is protecting the people. Mm-hmm. Why would you want the wall in America to protect the people? It serves the same purpose. Why would there be an excuse for the wall around America?
Because
I agree with the wall around Israel. Israel has a right to protect itself. Why don't America have the same right in your mind?
The ideology of people coming through from, let's say, Mexico, El Salvador, is for a better life. But people are trying to, the reason.
There's plenty of people. They're not coming here for a better life.
There's a great reason to why plenty of people want to come in just to work.
But they're not coming for a better life. They're coming here for free stuff. Some are coming to kill us.
That's a better life. Wouldn't you be better if you got a bunch of stuff for free?
But I don't you know, I love Israel and I love America. I don't know why you wouldn't be for the wall around America because you see that it works in Israel. Why wouldn't it work in America?
It's not. It's literally to block. It was literally put up to block terrorist attacks, not to limit
illegal aliens.
In Israel. I'm not talking about Mexico.
I happen to know Israel, and it was to block illegal aliens, too. I know that for a fact.
From where?
I can't tell you that, but I know that. My source.
Two totally different walls for two totally different reasons, but a lot of the same intention. But Benjamin Netanyahu said, oh, yeah, build the wall. It helped us here in Israel. But what Trump's doing is to really rally his troops around. And when I mean his troops, not the American troops of the U.S. military, but his fan base, around the idea that this is going to help America build the wall.
Was Israel doing the same thing for the same reason?
When they were discussing building
a wall in Israel, was it for a fan base at the time?
No.
Why you accuse the president of that then? Why not? You don't think we are worthy of being protected as Americans?
We are, but I think, have you ever been through the Mexican border? Have you gone through the Mexican border?
I've gone there.
Yeah.
And it's a mess.
You think so? You think anyone could just come in?
Yes.
Really?
Well, it's starting to slow down because the president is stopping it. But prior to President Trump, anybody can come all the way through Mexico from anywhere else they want to into a country.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever tried to get into Canada?
A lot of white people are mad because some Jewish people, such as yourself, is for protecting Israel but not for protecting America. They believe that the Jewish people want to destroy America because you're not for a wall in this country, but you're for a wall in your own country, you know, in Israel.
I did not say I'm for the wall in my own country.
I asked you, were you for the wall in Israel?
I think it served its purpose, but there's also a lot of negative connotations.
Are you for the wall in Israel? Just to have you on record, are you yes or no, are you for it?
I think there's a lot of negative connotations around the wall, but I think it serves its purpose for what it did. So blocking people and blocking terrorist activities that come in through Hamas.
And so are you for the war in Israel? Yes or no?
Like I said, I think it serves its purpose.
But you're not answering my question.
That's
why
I'm giving you the answer.
I'm black and slow. I need a yes or no. Are you for, because you said clearly you're not for the war in America. Are you for the war in Israel?
Don't think it serves its purpose ultimately now.
So are you for it?
I think what it serves us to, I think there should be, put it this way, I think there needs to be amendments for what it has been and what it does.
In Israel?
There's a lot of good people.
Where?
In the West Bank and Gaza. I have friends from Gaza. I have friends from West Bank.
I have gone over to Israel. And
but I just want to say there's a lot of good people, and it obviously keeps the bad apples. You know, one bad apple spoils the bunch, you know? But there's a lot more bad apples. I mean, they just shot a rocket the other day from Gaza into Israel. But guess what? It didn't even clear the fence. So what happened? It hit its own side.
Okay, so you are for the wall then, Israel?
Still, I think it serves its purpose.
You realize you're not answering my question. That's why I have to keep asking, right?
Okay. You want me to say... So I'll say yes. It's for the wall.
But you're not for the wall in America?
No.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. That is amazing to me. Do you believe that...
Because I think there could be a better way to do it in America. That's what I'm saying. Because it's two different situations.
The best way to do it is to build a big, beautiful wall around the country. What else way to do it?
Amazing.
Amazing! And so do you... do you believe that the Great White Hope loved the Jewish people?
It was a great way to hope.
President Trump.
I think his family is Jewish.
Do you believe he loved the Jewish people?
I think so. I think he was the first president to go to the wall. Have you been to the wall? The Western wall? The real wall?
Oh,
the real wall.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there?
Oh, yeah.
First president to do it. I don't agree with everything he does, but I think that's amazing.
And you believe that he loved the
amazing.
Jewish people?
Yeah. I like the way you say that a lot, by the way. It's fun.
What?
Amazing.
Amazing!
I saw your merch booth outside.
Oh, yeah.
I love merch booths. I love selling my merch. I got my hat, my pickle hat.
Yeah.
My little shirt. I want to get you. No, it says nobody cares except you.
Amazing. That's true. So let me ask. How do you feel about white men? Do you agree that white men are under attack?
I don't have a lot of opinion on white men because I'm not white.
So you don't pay attention to what's happening to them?
I try to pay attention to Jewish stuff and addiction stuff and Israel stuff and hip-hop stuff. And, you know.
But you don't pay attention to what is happening to white men in America?
I try to follow the news. You know,
do you care about that they are under attack?
I care about America in general. I care about the people of...
But not enough for a wall.
Yeah, well, that's just my opinion, you know.
Right.
Think there's better options.
Are you a nationalist?
No.
You're not a nationalist?
No, but I love my nation.
What's wrong with being a nationalist?
I don't think there's anything essentially wrong. I think there might be there's a lot of bad people that are nationalists.
And so what's wrong with being a nationalist?
I think it gets correlated to Nazism.
So saying that you put your country first, you're a nationalist, it correlated to being bad, being wrong?
Isn't that amazing? It's crazy. But I
but
think,
do you agree
I don't
with
I
that?
I love being from America. I love New Jersey. I love Koreatown, Los Angeles. I love all the places. Have you been to every state? I've been to every single state in America. Could you say that?
I almost have.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that it's amazing because that's what you say, but I've been to Alaska,
it is
Hawaii,
amazing.
Idaho, Montana,
I've visited 19 states in 2 weeks, period, at one point. So let me ask.
Amazing.
Do you associate with being a nationalist as something negative?
I think a lot of other people do.
How about you?
Yeah, I think so. I just like being proud to be an American.
But I'm a nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And what color am I?
Black.
Is that wrong?
No.
Is that negative to be a black man who put his country first?
Doesn't a black nationalist sounds like a Kanye West song or something? It sounds like intense.
And so is it negative?
Black nationalist. Oh, my God, run.
Is it negative to be a black nationalist?
Do you think it is?
I'm asking you. You might guess. Real fast.
No.
No?
A white nationalist sounds way worse, right?
But I'm asking first, is it a negative to be a black nationalist?
No.
And so is it negative to be a white nationalist?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. because of what the history of what happened since World War II.
What do you mean?
Being a Nazi and in World War II, people, you know, had that.
But what does that have to do with white people today?
The word...
You sound like those blacks with slavery. They were never enslaved. They never heard of slavery. You know, they heard of it, but they don't know the true history of it. But they associate everything with slavery today.
It's not, you know,
it's the dumbest thing I ever seen. So whatever happened with... I don't really know what happened with Hitler and all those people.
Oh, they killed 6 million Jews. You didn't know?
I know about that. I heard about that.
Right. It's a big... That's just
but my
the thing
point
you gotta
is,
make sure you know.
What... How does that relate to white men and women today who put their country first?
In what country?
America.
I don't know, man. I don't know why it sounds worse or bad, but it just I'm just letting you know from my perspective it just does. I didn't make it up, you know.
Right.
A
I know
lot
you
of
did.
Words,
yeah.
Words. Why is it, you know, Zionist? What does that mean? You know, it's whoa, what is that? That sounds bad. Like if,
so
if
you don't really
flowerist,
understand it. You don't understand it, but it just sounds bad when you hear it.
Sounds bad, and you have to take a different approach so that way you don't isolate a lot of possible friends because a lot of people don't know what it is.
Right.
I mean, the way you're defining it to me, it makes it not sound bad, but someone else would be like, white, black nationalist, are you a Black Panther? Are you going to kill the president? Or, you know what I mean?
So maybe it's
But I stick to being, you know, Jewish rapper.
Is it possible that other people have been brainwashed to believe that when a white person say they're a white nationalist, they've been brainwashed associated with a negative?
Yeah, I think people are afraid of being isolated
and
having no friends.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, if I like the president or if I didn't vote for you, are you not going to be friends with me? Unfriended. I'm not following your show, Jesse. I hate you. You're a nationalist.
They are afraid of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I don't care.
That's
I love
good.
My country. I'm a nationalist.
Hey, nobody cares except you.
That's right. So let me ask, you graduated from Rutgers?
That's funny you said Rutgers. Rutgers. But yes, Rutgers.
And you graduated
from
there.
Scarlet Knights.
And do you know this professor? I interviewed a guy there from there. He's a professor there by the name of Ben Burgess or something like that.
Oh, that's interesting. It sounds familiar. I want to let you know that I really don't remember a lot from college. I wrestled Division I. I went to college with a Division I wrestling scholarship and left with multiple felonies and convictions and jail time and parole and probation.
So
and
you didn't
no
graduate?
Vacation. I did.
But how did you graduate if you failed?
When I came back, I got clean in 2004. I've been clean since, and I went back to school and had to like relearn and take tests and I had credits and just maneuvered my way and got that degree. And since I used that degree to be a rapper in Koreatown.
How did you overcome being a drug addict?
Well, I went to jail a bunch, and I had to have a lot of self-realization.
Did you go to jail because of drugs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, used that experience. I went to rehab, addiction treatment. Went for about 90 days and 3-quarter houses, and the last time was not the first time that I needed help. It was way earlier, like 18, 19, 20, 21. By the time I got arrested, probably fourth time or in court, something happened. When I was running from the police, I actually had like a God shot, and I'm like a least godly person of Jewish people. And like for real, I was running from the police, and like a massive amount of drugs wasn't found. Someone picked it up, and I said, amazing.
Amazing.
No, literally. But no, I'm seriously, that literally happened to me. And since then, I had lost a desire to get high again. And that was 2004.
Amazing, man. Well, so you don't smoke pot or anything?
Nothing.
Wow.
I drink seltzer, live it up sometimes.
Do you miss smoking pot?
That was the least of my worries, to be honest. I mean, put it this way, back when I was getting arrested, back then they were arresting people for weed, like, you know, guns drawn. This is 2003, 2004, 2002. And now it's a totally different, you know, obviously you saw the Johnson & Johnson thing on opiate addiction the other day. It's a totally different world. And, you know, I'm grateful that that's not part of my life. But yeah. I also like to share my story because there's a lot of people watching that didn't go to bed last night. And they're upset. They're trying to figure out, they've been up all night doing drugs, maybe up for 2 days, maybe for 3 days.
There's a company that's been ordered to pay money, I believe it's Johnson & Johnson,
yep,
for opioid.
opiate addiction.
Yeah.
Opioid epidemic.
Do you think Johnson & Johnson should have to pay out money because other people are addicted to their drug?
Yeah. They play a part in it, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
If that's okay. So the amount that they requested, just for people to know, was like $17 billion. The opioid epidemic, I saw it happen in front of me. Like back when I was, OxyContin's were, have you ever taken OxyContin before?
No.
It's strong.
No, I know.
It's expensive and it's a synthetic alternative to just buying heroin. So a lot of kids will get into it before they lower down to cells and being like, I'll just buy heroin for $10 instead of buying a pill for $80. So people come into it from being prescribed it too easily. And the fact that people know that they could take a pill and say, there you go. Just take that and you'll be fine. And next thing you know, they're hooked on it. Spread throughout the past 15 years easily all across America. Now, to fix addiction, just I'll give you the cost of what it cost that I went. It was when I went to rehab, it was about $10,000 a month. Now it's about $30,000 a month.
Wow.
Okay. So if you take 570 million, 575 million, let's say 570 people just die from an overdose. That's only a million a person. How much do you think you're worth? If you like... how much is a life insurance policy? A million, right? So it's really not that many.
Yeah.
It's really not that many, not that much money. And it's only about to fight about a year. And you to be in long-term recovery, I've been clean 15 years. There's so many people that, Jesse, I'm clean off heroin for a year. And you're like, congratulations, amazing. And then, you know, next year they go back and then they die. It's a long-term process. So even if only you use heroin for 2 years, I mean, because you're dealing with the issues you've had for 18 years or 20 years, and then you're taking yourself out in 2 years off just one drug. So it's a lifelong
Why is
process.
It Johnson & Johnson fault that people are so out of control, they don't have self-control, they're not responsible for themselves?
Addiction is a disease. Why is
that Johnson & Johnson fault?
Addiction is a recognized disease.
It's not a disease.
Well, it's a nationally recognized disease.
No, but you can't pay attention to those dumb educators. They have no idea.
No, it's a disease. I'm just being
no,
telling
it's
you.
No, it's not a disease.
What is it?
It's an addiction. It's a running away from the real problem.
That's true, yeah. But that's also Johnson & Johnson is a $300 billion company that has a
responsibility.
But
they're not responsible because you're not responsible for your own life.
They're not entirely responsible. I'm responsible for me on an individual level. I'm responsible. I'm not going to say you're the reason why I this or he's the reason why I'm that. That's completely
– right.
But to even get into the mind
state – Johnson is not at fault for – parents are not raising their children right. They're setting poor examples for their kids. The kids aren't happy about that. And so they're out looking for drugs and everything else to make themselves feel better. Had the parents raised them right, they wouldn't need drugs. They wouldn't be looking for love. That's not Johnson & Johnson's fault.
Okay.
That makes sense?
I totally get the perspective.
Do you agree?
I don't. I don't completely because I understand the disease concept of what addiction is and how it runs in a family for years, from all the way. And it's not just addiction. It's everything associated with mental health and anxiety and depression and clinical depression. And I've been on medicine before to help my depression, and I've been off and I'm off medicine now. And there's a connotation that if you're off medicine, you're stronger.
But is sex a disease?
It could be used as a drug.
Is it a disease?
No, sex is actually a gift of life.
So
if sex is drugs, used to help create people.
If sex can be used as a drug, why are you calling opioid and that stuff and a disease? Because sex, I mean, people.
Food, sex.
Men are addicted to sex and women are sex dealers. Why would you just not call that a disease? You agree that women are sex dealers, right?
No.
You don't agree that women are sex dealers?
Then men are sex dealers, too.
No, they're sex addicts.
Not everyone's a sex addict. Some people are love avoidant. Some people are sex avoidant.
Right, but most men are sex addicts, as most women are sex dealers, right?
No.
You don't agree?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. Just don't agree.
Why not?
Just don't. It's not even as a topic. I think you know, sex is something used to create life. So you know, but I mean, anything could be used
as too
much.
But still, women use it as a drug for the man.
You're funny, man.
Isn't that right?
It's funny.
Just think about how you were addicted to sex at one point.
I was not addicted to sex.
How'd you overcome it?
I was addicted to drugs at one point.
So how did you overcome addiction of sex?
I never said that.
No. How did you overcome it?
That's funny, man. We went from Israel to talking about food and sex. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But there's great food and sex in Israel, too, man. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Tell the folks how to listen to your music, how to get in contact with you.
Get in contact with me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. Rapperfriends@gmail.com. That's my email. Koshadills, KOSHADILLZ is all the internet stuff. I've written some cool articles on anti-Semitism and the BDS movement and Variety and Billboard if you ever want to read some of my readings. Got a website, koshadillsworld.com. And if you want to, I got a YouTube too, because you're on YouTube, Koshadills. Got a lot of cool songs. You should check out this song, Dodging Bullets, with me and Matis Yahu. It's an anti-BDS song.
All right.
You know what BDS is?
I have no idea.
Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement. Rashid Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. They blocked them out.
Oh, do you support Ilhan Omar?
Not really.
She should be shipped back to Somalia, right?
No, I don't think so, but I think...
But she hates Israel and America. She should be shipped back to the little refugee camp, wherever she came from.
Oh, my God. That's intense. I think... I know a lot of people...
If she's not happy here, ship her back, right?
No, but I'm not happy here, but sometimes on a personal level, but I love it here. Does that make sense? You could be not happy,
but she
still
doesn't,
love
it. Except for allegedly taking somebody else's husband. And...
But are you single or are you single, divorced, married? Have you ever been?
No.
I've never been married.
Uh-uh.
So I don't ever want to judge people on their personal relationships.
Right.
Because I feel like every president has somehow skewed off the path. My parents have been married 51 years, and my dad is definitely not perfect. But I really try not to judge people based on their relationships. But I do judge people based on the hatred of Jews, addiction, and being a Jewish rapper in Koreatown.
what's DBS?
It's BDS.
I mean, BDS, what is that?
Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. It's an anti-Israel movement that believes in the fact that if you don't financially or fiscally support anything of the culture, that they'll win some sort of victory.
Do you think America—
It's kind of based in a lot of anti-Semitism.
Do you believe America should support Israel?
Yeah. I think it's great that they do, and we really appreciate it. And I appreciate being – I'm an American citizen and an Israeli citizen.
Why should – for those who don't like it, I'm for it. I'm okay. I'm totally for it.
Amazing.
But for those who don't like – there are Americans who don't like the fact that Americans supported Israel. What do you say to them?
Come visit Israel. It's an amazing place.
Why should America support Israel?
It's the only stable democracy in the Middle East, and they have a lot of investment into that area. Israel is home to all different kinds of tech developments. Just for instance, let's say if I'm messaging you on Instant Messenger, that's an Israeli technology. So there's a lot of stuff that Israelis have done.
I love Israel, and I love America, right?
We should hang out in Israel when you get there.
I will. I definitely will.
We'll go get some falafel.
Exactly. We're going to go to the Wailing Wall.
Yeah. And anyone could come to the Wailing Wall. It doesn't matter whatever religion you are.
But the Muslim won't let you go up to the dome thing.
Oh, the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah. Did you know they took the dome from the Jews?
Yeah, I know. It's still the holy site for the Jews. Can I tell you something that's really interesting?
Real fast. I got to go.
Yeah. So when Jews are in America, they're praying. They face Israel. Right?
Right.
Right? Because that's where it started, right?
Right.
And when Jews are in Israel, where do they face? Jerusalem, right?
Right.
And if you're in Jerusalem, where do you face?
America.
The Rock. The Dome of the Rock, because that's where the temple
was. I remember when we went up to the Rock.
America.
The Rock on the Dome.
Yep.
I went there, and we could not pray because they said the Muslim
was looking
at us.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You could come pray at the Western Wall. It doesn't matter.
No.
You could pray to whatever God you want. In fact, I'll write a note in the wall for the whole crew here. Send me a note, and I'll write it in there, put it in there for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming in, man.
Thanks, man. My name's Koshadills. My name's Rami Matan Evanesh, which means high exalted gift of fires and stones in Hebrew.
Well, thank you, Rami Matan.
Shalom.
Thank you, Rami Matan. Adios.
Yeah.
Gracias.
Isn't it Ramadan? It sounds like Ramadan, but it's Ramadan. Isn't that funny?
It is funny. Thank you, Rami Matan.
Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. See you. All right. Let me.